Yep.
Question? On Tucano.
Mm-hmm.
So, in English, that's a very different kind of verb, kind of a hunting verb.
Mm-hmm.
That follows by an infinitive.
Mm-hmm.
Except the third person neuter perhaps. Is that the way it is in Greek too, or do you know?
Well,
run into it somehow?
No, I really haven't. Haven't seen it in use much.
Because I happen to...
No. No. Right. Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's almost got to be a third person neuter use. Yeah. And your error is, you know, something happened or something has happened is about the only two ways it apparently is used. There's no, well, you could conceivably have a will happen in the future, if it's, but it doesn't even give a future form. So it's probably got a very restricted use. And, yeah, I think you're right. You're probably, you know, that form, etuchon, I happened, wouldn't make any sense unless it's used with an infinitive or something. I happen to do this or happen to do that. But I doubt that it's used that way. Well, for curiosity, somebody ought to look it up in the concordance and find out how it's used. But in the meantime, just know those two forms, I guess. Yeah, that's good. All right, any other questions there before we go ahead and do this?
Just like the last one we did, I'll give you 10 examples with it. I'll give you the form, and you give me the four pieces of information, tense, voice, root verb, in its dictionary form, and the meaning of the dictionary form. And then the last five, I'll give you the four pieces of information, and you give me the form. So, what, tense, voice, root verb, dictionary form, and meaning of the dictionary form. I'm just getting English infinitive like we had before. Okay.
Thank you.
Did I tell you not to take those?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll change that for you.
Well, that's what you're supposed to very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't remember for sure what I did. No, I can change it. I can change it.
In case you don't know the one that you're going to find out.
Maybe I'll do that just to eliminate any. That is a correct form, but.
Yeah. But it's not found in the intent.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I may not like this, but.
Yeah.
Good. Is that
you.
Yeah, that's right.
We're here.
Oh,
Not a dog bark.
Yeah, all right.
I
everybody finished? Everybody need more time? Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and change papers then and correct it.
This first section is worth 40 points, 4 points each. On the first 10, 1 point per piece of information.
So we just count 1 point for each thing there. And if it's a minor spelling error on the root verb, if it's like one or two letters off, just take off a half point. If they've got the general thing, it's a completely wrong verb, of course, take off a full point. And then also on the ones that are most middle or passive, you know, they have to have both middle and passive down. If they have only middle or only passive, it's half point. Okay, number one, estromai should be perfect middle and passive of strepho to turn.
Let's see, I just remember to put the spelling down there. Strepho. Okay. Perfect middle passive strepho to turn.
Number two, a tethane is aorist passive of tithamine.
And to put or place. Edramone is aorist active of treco to run. Right, that was the future form, which isn't used in the New Testament.
Okay,
epesone is aorist active of pipto. Aorist active, pipto to fall. Okay.
So each section is 1 point?
Yeah, each piece of information is 1 point. So 1 point for aorist, 1 point for active, 1 point for pipto, and 1 point for fall, meaning of that. Number five, apostolka is perfect, active from apostello and means to send. Okay, tetelesmai is perfect. Middle or passive from teleo to finish.
Right.
Yes.
The breathing marks, is it half
a
point?
On the main, let's see. On breathing marks, yeah. Well, let's see. On that. Yeah, I wouldn't worry. I'm not even going to worry about it on that. It could take a quarter point, but it gets ridiculous after a while. If everything else is right, we'll go ahead and consider that right on this. Now, on the next section over there, though, we will count a lot more stringent on it. Okay, pefuga, perfect active of fugo to flee. Fugo. Oiso is the future active of pharaoh, believe it or not. One of the proudest verbs there is. But a pharaoh to bear, bring, or carry. Bear, bring, or carry. And ephanin is the aorist passive of phino to shine. And etukon is aorist active of tunkano to happen. Okay, so that's 1 point each piece of information. It's 40 points possible in that section. Okay, now this last section is 15 points total, 3 points per response. I guess I can write them over here. And on this one, 1 point off for every spelling error. In other words, every letter that's wrong, or the breathing mark will count 1 point on this one. And what's that?
How many points?
Oh, let's see. Did I say half point, not half for the breathing mark? I can't remember. We're not going to count on the accent. But it's going to each one counts 3 points, and you get 1 point error for every spelling error. And I think we'll count 1 point on the breathing mark also. So, breathing mark or letter wrong is 1 point up to a maximum of 3.
Okay, perfect active of Pharaoh to bring. This one is used only in combination, but you don't need to have that dash on. Just a note for your benefit. And Nenoka.
Nenoka.
That's the breathing mark.
Yes. You have to have the breathing mark. That's 1 point on this one. Okay. And if you got the dash, you know, of course, if there's anything there, the breathing mark would be removed. But. Okay. And, well, let's see. Not in the case of that. Did anybody do that thinking of, since this is always going to be something on the front of it, you didn't. The voice in the book has a breathing mark. So I guess we'll just leave it at that. Future active of Sozo to save is Soso. You duplicate a syllable there. And perfect middle passive tipping me is Tefe Mai. Tau Epsilon Theta. Epsilon Yo and Nu altogether. Aris active of Chiro is Akarin. And there is passive of Apostello is Apostelling. One lamb in there. Okay. We'll go ahead and score those appropriately. It'll be 55 points possible on the whole thing.
And so subtract the number of points from 55 and pass it back to the owner.
Was it 55?
55 total possible, yeah.
15 on that section there and 40 on this section.
As soon as you got those correct, you can pass them to the front. We'll go ahead and continue in John 17.
I think what we'll do after John 17 is we'll look at Romans 1 first, chapter 1, and then go to chapter 8 of Romans. And then probably into Hebrews and Revelation and a few other things. I wanted to cover an introduction to one of the epistles so you can get the kind of a pleading for the salutations and the introduction, that type of thing. Yes.
They have, maybe 10
times. Mm-hmm.
That leaving half dead or being half dead are worthy to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
To mean common.
My.
Seeing that by thee we enjoy, and seeing that and enjoy is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Having obtained,
my.
Showed us no little kindness, in other words, no common kindness.
Mm-hmm.
It may chance.
Okay, that's where they're getting to happen from.
May obtain. Has obtained, might obtain.
Yeah, that's a very wide range meaning word.
Okay.
No, no. Yeah. take your pick. Yeah, I guess just me, not knowing what it meant. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Happened, it would be a very misleading, single. If you're going to pick one word for it, it doesn't seem like that's the word to pick. Unless they're looking at some common basis, it might happen to be, or, the obtaining is happening to have, or something like that. It must be what they're thinking, at least, what Getches was thinking. Okay. John 17, verse 12, I think is where we are. Yes, we did. Yes, we just got through it. Is that right? Yeah, all right. Yeah, I wanted to mention a few things. Okay. Okay, I guess we did want to mention the manuscript problem, of course, you're all familiar with. Keep them in thy name, in your name, which you have given to me. And, of course, your relative pronoun here, the issue is between that relative pronoun and whether it's which or those whom thou hast given me. And those whom is kind of, it perhaps originated from back up in verse 6, where he had a those whom. Was that the one? Yes. He had the whos there, those whom thou hast given me. And so perhaps there, the manuscript problem arose from trying to refer back to that. But in this case, it's which, it's referring back to the name. Of course, it's dative. And this may be a case in which there's an attraction that's taking place of the relative pronoun, because the case that you would expect for the relative pronoun would be accusative. See, which you have given to me. To me would be the indirect object, and which would be the direct object. You, the subject, have given which to me. See? And so that's the kind of a case that you expect an attraction to the case of the antecedent. In this case, the antecedent is dative. And so we have something that should be in the accusative case, but it's being attracted to the case of the dative. So, and you can perhaps see a reason for that device. It makes a very unambiguous. One thing, and this is the neuter form of one. Remember, there's hen and mia and haste is the masculine form. This is the neuter form, so that we may be one thing. And it seems to be talking, it's the same thing that Jesus said in John 10, I and Father, one thing we are. And it seems to be talking more of the intrinsic nature of things. And it's not simply an adjective, because the adjective, at least in that other case, you would normally expect the masculine form. But here it seems to be talking about a kind of a unity of nature and essence. It's quite interesting. Same thing is used to describe our relation, our being one with God, is described with Jesus being one with God. Kind of staggering. All right. Any other questions in verse 11?
So you're saying if it had been masculine, the emphasis would have been what?
Well, it'll be a little bit more, this is what Vincent says about it anyway. He says that if it was masculine, you'd have more of an adjectival sense of one in will and purpose or one in mind or something like that, and a kind of an agreement type of thing. But when you use a neuter like this, it makes it almost, it makes it substantive, and it makes it one thing. You know, we are one thing. And it means the whole entity. It's one thing. It's not just that you've got some unity on a few levels. It's one thing. It's quite a emphatic difference.
Because it's not masculine, it can be an adjective.
Right.
And if it is masculine, then it would normally be taken as an adjective.
Yes, exactly.
So it's clearly making some statement about itself, about being a duty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it stands out that way. Mm-hmm. And that's why you almost have to translate it one thing, because it's, if you just translate it one, see, in English that comes out as an adjective, you know, we're one, what does that mean, you know, but to say I and the Father, one thing we are, and of course the Jews immediately responded by taking a stone to stone him, so then they definitely got the meaning. But it's interesting that, you know, it's pretty easy to see in that context of John 10:30 what the idea he's trying to get across is, but here, to see it used over here too, is again, I'm not saying that this is the exact same theological meaning as the case in John, but it's the same construction, and it's looking at the body of Christ as one thing with God. You know, we are to be one with him as a corporate body. It looks like God's calling us to be in the same place as Christ was as man. So it's quite a marvelous thing.
Would it be, since you're talking about unity of nature, then, would it be along the lines of being one in terms of being in the image and likeness of
God. I think so. I think it's talking about the image and likeness of God coming into that and manifesting the very same things and, you know, speaking the same things, showing forth the same things, same heart, same attitude, everything. And, yeah, I think, you know, it ties into other scriptures that talk about, at least with regard to the body of Christ now, it ties into other scriptures that talk about, you know, as God did beseech you by us, be reconciled to God, we are ambassadors, so forth, we're representatives, his co-workers, and so forth. And the whole idea that, and that's, I think, you know, that's on a legal plane, but I think this is going further onto an experiential plane. It says we're partakers of the divine nature is going to be, you know, eventually. And so that can... So anybody's interested in doing a paper on that subject, it is quite a remarkable statement. Yes?
One queer thing. I've always wondered whether that could perhaps be referring to they being one with themselves, or does it necessitate the saints being one with God?
Well, in this context, because he says... this one, I suppose it was, as we read on, you see he's going back and forth, you know, I and you and me and so forth, all of this, and putting it in that context. By itself, it could just mean that they have unity among themselves. But because of the context of John 17, where he keeps going with this thing, that's the reason that the other comes forth. Now, I'm not sure so much in this verse, in this particular verse, okay, I think the same phrase comes up again.
In verse 22.
22, is that it? Okay, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, that they may be as one as we are one. That's the one I was thinking of. It's the same construction there with the neuter. That's the one I was thinking of in connection there with Christ and the Father and us. But in this verse that we're looking at now, by itself, it would just, you know, all that's demanded is that the body of Christ is one thing. You know, and that could tie you into one loaf and so forth. In other words, it's been intended to be one functional, organic unity. And then we see the comparison with Christ and the Father as well later on for development. So there's a lot of meat for theological understanding there. And, of course, experiential understanding as we come closer and closer to that. This whole issue of the unity of Christ with the Father, you hate to use these terms, but there is a mystery involved in that. Not the Trinitarian mystery of how three persons can be one person, or can be one God, but there is a mystery in the sense that what is the nature of that interrelationship between deity and humanity? I mean, we can point to clear scriptures showing Jesus as God and scriptures showing Jesus as man, and we know what the attributes of God are, we know what the attributes of man are, basically. But how that's merged together, you know, is where the mystery comes. And I think the more that we experientially are moving into this, the more we're going to begin to understand it and not have the questions, you know. So, looking forward to a lot. I don't think there's any huge theological problem. It's just more of an experiential problem. Yes, John.
Eric looked up here at Thayer's.
Yes.
On Tunkano.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I think what they chose for me is not real. I mean, it's there, of course, but it's not really...
What we're really trying to say is what Tunkano means is Tunkano, right?
Well, what he says here in the transitive, it means properly to hit the mark in opposition to hamartano.
Oh, is that right?
And then he's got, I don't understand what T-R-O-P period is, an abbreviation, but maybe it means transitive or something. Like that. To reach or attain, get, become master of. And then
that's coming from that hit the mark idea, isn't it?
Yeah, intransitive, to happen, chance, fall out, it may be, perhaps.
Mm.
So
maybe they're thinking of there's a considerable degree of chance in shooting and hitting the mark too. That might be taken intransitive. Yeah? I think getcha missed the mark. Okay. Very interesting. Thank you. Yeah. Well, that makes a lot more sense. That starts to make all the meanings start to fit together.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you have something more?
Interlinear translates as one thing also.
Oh, okay. Yes, they do. Yeah, one thing. So, you can take that for what it's worth, and if somebody gets so inspired, you can write a thesis on that subject. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll see lots of things written on that in the days to come.
I'm going to live a thesis on that one.
Yeah, right. That's the way to do it. Okay, verse 12. Who's up? today, John?
Why not?
Why not?
Porta himen auton ego et eterum autus ento onmati tu ho derocas moi cae apulaxa cae udes ex auton apoliter apolito e me ho vios teis apolea ina he grafe plerote.
Okay. Nice long one there.
Porta.
When?
When he was with them, or what, no, when I was with.
Yeah, when I was with
when
them.
I was with them. Okay.
Tiratu means to observe.
To observe. Sorry.
To observing them.
I observed them in, or I kept. Or is that that?
Let's see.
Te reo to keep. Oh, okay. It has
eyes. Could be keeping too, observing, watching. It's kind of like watching over them.
Okay.
Watch over them might be good.
I watched over them.
Mm-hmm.
In your name,
mm-hmm.
which you have given to me,
mm-hmm.
and
Fulakain means prison, and this means to guard. It's a prison guard type of a picture. So.
I guarded them, or no?
If you make a distinction, you watched over with the first one, and then you could say, I kept them. Oh. You know, kept them protected, kept them guarded. So it's got a little bit more intense idea.
Okay.
It's like he's got them imprisoned in his love, you know. That seems to be the idea.
I kept them.
So. Right, I kept them.
And not one out of them, I let go or something.
Well, yes, and this is passive, though, and it's the third person, so not one of them was destroyed. The way it's translated.
Oh, this is Luo.
Yeah, Apoluo was loosed away or something, I suppose.
Now,
you could
why
say.
Do we have an omega? Apo,
because of the augment. See, when you have the augment, on one of these prefix types. Apolumi. Well, it depends, you know, when you have the augment, see, normally you have ape, you see, on these types. Let me just see if I can find the spot here so I can give you the exact derivation of this versus this 12. Okay, it's from Apolumi. This is in a second aorist middle indicative. So it's just it's a middle form, and since it's aorist, you have the augment. And you know, we had a system of rules there for augments. Since this verb, if you took the apo off, you'd have olumi or holumi or something like that. Maybe an unused root.
Oh.
And then the augment on that is going to be an omega.
Okay, that's what we're trying.
Okay.
The olumi. I was thinking it was rule.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. Now there is a vowel in omicron that's part of the root. That's what makes the difference.
That
all right.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So not one out of them was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
This
A may, you might translate accept in this case.
Yeah, except.
If not, or accept.
The son of destruction.
Right.
In order that the scriptures might be fulfilled.
Right. In order that the scriptures should be fulfilled, might be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, singular. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's just from plural O, and that's aorist passive subjunctive. Yes, Dale.
Translating this, I looked at this garbage. Up.
Mm-hmm.
And could that be associated with the name that was given to him, that he guarded that name? Or is it...
Oh, I see. Yeah, the name which you have given me and I guarded. Oh, I see what you're saying. I guarded the name rather than I guarded them. Hmm. Well, let me look at this.
There's a variant there.
Is there?
I think on the same type of thing as the previous verse, except it seems that a little bit.
Oh,
part, manuscript.
Part of it is in punctuation here, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way it is, it could be ambiguous. Because the whole there, you know, it depends on whether this is being attached to that verb which you have given me and I guarded, or whether it's going back up to the previous clause and my keeping them or the name which. So you do have some ambiguity there. I suppose...
Well, if that tie, though, seems to be connecting back to the ego eterum autos instead of... Because you've got ento onomate su ho de
okasmo, which is one phrase. When you have a relative pronoun construction like that, it's got its antecedent and it tends to be locked in with that clause. And so your chi would, you know, you would naturally expect a comma there and I guarded, going right back up to the parallel with ete run. You know, in other words, conjoining those. That would be the natural way to take this. Just because you have a relative pronoun construction here, and that locks into name there. Now, is the variant having anything to do with that relative pronoun?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so it's whose again, same issue?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, well that...
Oh.
Yeah. But that really wouldn't affect... That would affect whether the name is what was given or they were, or what was given, but it really wouldn't affect what the Ephulaxa referred to.
Apparently, Kai is not part of one of the... the majority text does not have chi in it, I think. Yeah, well, the Georgian has omits chi. And one of the variants, the one who stedokas moi, apparently omits chi. And that's the, that's the Byzantine and the Georgian text.
Yeah. Okay, that could make a difference. You see, because if you drop the chi out, then you, if you drop the chi out, then you're likely to be taking this, the name which to which you have given, and the name which you have given me, I guarded. But even there, you don't have anything that still would be a little bit awkward, because you'd be saying, I observed them in the name of in your name, which you have given to me, I guarded. That doesn't really fit very well. You almost have to, if you drop the chi out, you'd probably have to take it as asyndetic, you know, just not having the chi in there and putting the comma there and tagging it. It looks like there's not too much way around this, but it has to be referring back up to the, in order to make sense, referring back up to the observing, the same ones that were observed, namely them. Okay. But it is ambiguous. It's not like it's black and white. You could take this, the name which you have given me, and I guarded. But usually in cases like that, you probably see a repetition of the relative pronoun or something. It's not uncommon for Greek to do that, just to make clarity when there's potential ambiguity. So on the basis of that, I would probably, if I had to choose it, I would opt for, because guarding and keeping are very similar in meaning and so forth, I would say that it's referring back to the saints again, to the ones that were given to him.
Does Dedokas, take a
dative
object?
I don't think so. I think that this is just because of an attraction to the case of the antecedent. In other words, the whole being dative is an attraction to the case of the antecedent. The antecedent is onomati, which is dative. And this would normally be accusative. And you have an indirect object in the dative there, moi. So... you're probably looking at a case where the relative pronoun is attracted to the case of the antecedent. It's the right conditions for that. Yes, Greg? No, I don't. Does anybody have Nestle's here?
Yeah, I
On these one verses here, the only thing they have is, okay, this is where the manuscript variant is right here. They got oos.
Yeah.
And then they've got, the only thing they have is chi, and that's in reference to this whole little section. Does that mean that they're getting rid of that whole thing except just for chi?
I'm not sure how this is set up, but in UBS what they've got...
Chi, and it's for just pieces of six and an hour.
And yeah.
Chi, they don't have the whole ditto chi.
Yeah, and they don't say omit.
That
There is a symbol.
Yeah, you may be right. It looks like in some of these the whole thing's gone except for the chi.
Yeah.
That would drop this whole thing out.
I think that's 56. And
out. Okay. I think you're right there, because that's the way it looks here, too. All they have, see, they've split this whole thing out, and then chi is the only thing that's left of it showing there. Okay. So some of the better ones, Aleph without the corrector and P66 have just chi there, and you drop out the language that was given me completely.
I think in their text, when you have a box and then an O after it, then everything in between is omitted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it needs to be a little peculiar.
Yeah, the way the UBS is, it can be a little bit tricky to know what's going on. But Nestle's had brackets around the whole thing to start with, so you kind of knew what was going on.
It's interesting to kind of try and restructure. I started doing this on certain things to reconstruct what each one had, because the way they put it in here,
mm-hmm.
You kind of get it.
Yeah. You can see how much time you could spend in your life on going through some of these things. You had to do them all. All right. Verse 13, then. Jim.
This is the approach that Erkamai has done from Salo and Toposmo in a Erkosin, Saint Karan, Saint Anain, Pepe, Romani, and Altoy. But now I am coming toward you. From these things I have spoken in the world, in order that they might have my joy having been fulfilled in themselves.
Right, having been fulfilled, having been made full. Yeah, it's a perfect passive participle. Okay, good. Having been made full or having been fulfilled would be fine. In themselves. Okay, good. Any questions, anybody on that? It's real good. Oh, yes. I am speaking. It's present form there. I can't remember what you said. I spoke, but it is present. Yeah, lalo. And, of course, the omega there is because it's a contract verb, lalo. That can be a little tricky, though. If you don't know it's a contract verb, you might guess it might be future, too. Because it did have the, you know, the stem ends in a lambda like that. Those are the types you expect to get futures that just change the accent instead of add a sigma. So you just have to be familiar with the verb to know that. Okay, verse 14, Eric.
I have given them your word, and the word.
This is to hate.
And the
word
seated
them.
Seated them. They are not out of the world, according as I am out of the world.
Okay. Just as I am out of the world. Okay, good. That miseo is the verb, and means to hate. And this is just an aorist active indicative of that. And there may be some cognates in English, or you know, that, like a misanthrope, somebody hates mankind and so forth. So I don't know how far that goes. There's a mis, you know, like mistaken or something like this that in English too. And I think we've got. That might come from another language root or something, I don't know. But there are some cognates, I think, for this.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a
statement. Mm-hmm. Which is the hatred of intermixing. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Intermixing.
Okay. So there's probably, you got all kinds of, learn some English about the book after.
Well,
yeah, Jim, do you have another question? Okay, we'll stop here. I think what we're going to do, I'm anxious to get into the epistles, but
we've only got
we can finish this up tomorrow, I guess. The trouble is here, we're getting so much, well, everywhere we're going to go and have this problem with theology.
Yeah.
It's not a problem, it's a blessing, but it's just, I do want to get through. I want to be sure that you're exposed to a lot of different types of Greek in the New Testament. Okay. Huh? Well, I think we'll finish this up, and then tomorrow we'll try to discipline ourselves to keep rolling, and then we'll start looking at Romans 1 and then Romans 8, and we may not go through the entire chapter, but I'd like to cover a salutation, you know, kind of an introduction to an epistle, kind of get some of the, because there's certain kinds of expressions and ways of expressing that you don't see otherwise.
And